Okay. So I wrote here on the side. If a person, you find in a person three things. Number one, he has to have a white blemish on his skin. A nega lavan. That's number one. He finds a white blemish on his skin. Number two, it's on his or bisaro, which means it's not on his eyeballs, it's not in his mouth. It's someplace on what's halachically considered his skin. Number three, it hurts him. It's not just a stain or something that he sees, but it actually is machivo, it hurts him. Then he has a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, to take it and to show it to a baki. He doesn't have to show it to a kohen. The Gemara learns, Chazal learned, that it can even be showed to a talmid chacham, someone who knows the halachos. However, the proclamation of tumah v'tara, that can only be done by a kohen. And sometimes you might have a kohen who's an ama aretz, and the talmid chacham stands next to him and says, okay, stay tahor, stay tameh. And how much he has to know himself is a discussion. But he has to go, and he has a mitzvah right away to go with it and to show it. Again, three qualifications. It's got to be a white blemish. It has to be on his skin, what's considered skin, and not a hidden area, like in an outside area of his skin, meaning not a, what we call beis astarim. It's not in his armpit. It has to be something that can be seen from a regular view of a person, not where, like the bottom of his feet where the kohen would have to like get down on the floor and say, lift up your foot. It has to be someplace on his outer flesh that can be seen from a regular position. And it's got to be something that that hurts him, that causes him pain, it's mitzayir him. If these three qualifications are fulfilled, so he goes to the kohen or to the talmid chacham, and he shows it to him. The person that he shows it to has to be done now on three things. Number one, the shear. How big is it? Is it the size of a gris? A gris is a type of lentil of some sort, and here we're talking about a square gris. The size of a gris in halacha is 6 hairs by 6 hairs. So your hair follicles, you measure 6 by 6. That's around the size of a gris. A gris, when it comes to Hilchos Nidah, is generally assumed to be around the size of a penny. So it's got to be something, if you look, and there's a discussion, is it the hair on your arm and body as opposed to the hair on your head? Hair on your head is much closer. That's why your hair on your arm is not as dark as the hair on your head, because the hair follicles are not as close to each other. So we would take 6 hairs by 6 hairs. If it's 5 hairs by 7 hairs, that's not good. It's got to be at least 6 hairs by 6 hairs. That's the size. If the nega is that size, then that is one qualification in order for it to become tummy. That's the shear. B, the color of it. It needs to be a certain type of white. And the Rambam lists 4 different whites that are considered a problem for the Tumah of Tzaras. And here we get into some of the names of the forms of Tzaras. We have a Baheres and a Se'es. Baheres and Se'es, those are the 2 avos of Tzaras. Baheres and a Se'es. Each of those have a tolda. The toldas are called Sapachas. Sapachas means like something that's tafel. So even though the Torah uses this word sapachas, which means like a secondary, you have to realize that each one, the Baharis and the Se'es, each have a sapachas, each have a tolda. And this creates for us shtayim, sheheim, arba. 2, which are 4. Because we have Baharis and Se'es are our avos, and each one of them has a sapachas, has a tolda of the av. What are the different things? So I wrote them for you here. Baharis is like tseva sheleg masir. It's bright white, shiny white, like fresh snow. That is the Baharis. And the sapachas is a grade down. It's a little bit pachot masir. And it's, the Chazal tells us, it's like the color of the sid of the heichal. Some of the stones of some sort of the heichal. Okay, that's the stones or the concrete, so plaster, that's sid ha-heichel. That's the color of the sapachas of a baharis. Then we have the se'es, which is a duller white. It's more like the color of a sheep's, what's that called that grows on a sheep?
Wool.
Sheep's wool, thank you. Like sheep's wool. So that's another grade down. And then the sapachas of the se'es is a grade down from that, and that's referred to as Chazal by the krum of a beitza, like the egg shell. I don't know if it's the egg shell or the egg yolk.
The
hard-boiled egg. I think it's the egg shell. Krum is like a membrane. So I imagine it means that the membrane meaning like the shell. So we've got, again, the baharis is like shell egg. The sapachas is like the sid of the heichal. The se'es is like tsemer. And the sapachas is like the krum
of a beitza.
These are the four whites. The Rambam says anything that's less than that. Now you're thinking, like, why are there so many whites? If you ever painted your house and you get like that book of all the paints, have you ever seen that? There's like three pages of whites. And this one is called like Snow White. And this one is called like Winter White. They've got all these different names for it. And each one is slightly different in shade. So that's part of the expertise of the Talmud Chacham. We have this by Nida as well. There are many different reds. There's fire engine red, and there's a brighter red and a lighter red, and a crimson and burgundy. And for Hilchos Nida, you need to know. I mean, we nowadays are asr anything that's nota towards Admimus. But the Gemara, they speak about different shades of red were a problem. So that's the second criteria. After he's come to the Kohen, he's checked the size, now he's checked the color. If it's one of these four colors, it's going to be also a check mark for a Tumah. Next, he checks the Makom. There are certain Makomos in the body, besides we already spoke about like the Beis HaStarim, there are certain parts of the body that even if it's external and it's easy to be seen, it might not be a problem. And the Gemara discusses Roshei Eivarim. There are 24 Roshei Eivarim, like your fingertips and your ends of your toes and the tip of your nose and the tip of your ear. There are certain areas, we're not going to get into all the details because some of the different types of tzaras do have this limitation, some of them don't, but there's also going to be a question of the location of it. So we've already seen six criteria in order for something to become tamei b'tzaras. The first three are something that a person can tell on their own. He checks, as we saw, if it's white-ish looking, if it's on his external skin, and if it's hurting him. So then he goes to the Kohen. The Kohen now is going to check, well, what's the size of it? What is the shade of white that you're seeing? And also, even on the external parts, there are certain areas where, like for instance, on the edge of a finger, since you can only see the whole thing by not, you can't see the whole thing from looking from one direction, because there's a slope. And you would need to look around, so that also is not going to be a problem of tzaras. Once we have these three criteria, so now, the Kohen now looks for one of two final nail in the coffin characteristics that are going to make it tummy. What are those last two characteristics? Either white hair or a live piece of flesh in the middle of the white blemish. So let's talk about each of those. First of all, the hair. If we have a nega tzaras, and again, we just saw six criteria to make something a nega tzaras. If you have a nega tzaras, now we look for sear lavan. Sear lavan, I wrote it on the sheet for you here. Shtei syros, it's got to be two white hairs. And the Gemara goes, so many details. What does it mean that the hair is white? What if the root of the hair is dark and the tip is white? What if the tip is white and the root is dark? So the ikar is the root, the part that's coming out of the nega. If it's white and there are two hairs, the two hairs have to be long enough that nitilas hazug, which is a certain amount of length that they need to be, that they can be cut with a scissor. They don't need to be next to each other, and they can be anywhere within the nega. And they also have to come after the nega appears. If you had white hair there before and then the nega appears, that's not tumah. So if the two hairs appear after the nega, that is the sign of tumah, and this is now a tameh nega. The other possible sign of tumah is a michya. Michya means a live piece of flesh in the middle of the nega. Now, the live piece of flesh, as I wrote, needs to be the size of an adasha. What's an adasha?
A lentil,
which is two hairs by two hairs. Remember, the whole thing only has to be six hairs by six hairs. The michya in the middle needs to be two hairs by two hairs. Michya in the middle means live flesh, healthy flesh that grows in the middle of the nega. As I wrote, it's only if it's mamish in the middle, not if it's off to the side. And here it doesn't matter if it came before, if it came after. If there is live flesh in the middle, it's going to be a problem. So, we've seen now eight different criteria. We can really break them up into three groups. They're the first three that you see, that you know you need to go to the Kohen. Then we have three that are prerequisites to even talk about Tumah. Size, color, and location. Once those are there, now we look for Simanei Tumah. Simanei Tumah are either two white hairs, or the live piece of flesh in the middle.
He needs all that.
If he sees one of those two signs, the hairs. Obviously, it has to fulfill the criteria of being a Negat Saras. If it fulfills the criteria, and you now find two hairs or
live flesh,
meaning flesh that's not minuga, good, healthy flesh in the middle.
Regular flesh.
So then, if you find that, I'm not sure if it means the regular flesh or if it means like, even like, no, that's going to be for a different level. Yeah, that's what I think it means. So if you find the simane tuma, so now the Kohen proclaims him tame. The Kohen says, you're tame, and the guy is tame. What if it does not have the hair or the michia? It doesn't have the hair or the live flesh in the middle, but it fulfills all the criteria. So now we have something called hesker. Hesker means we lock the guy away. He needs to be shut aside. Now, if he's in a city in Eretz Yisrael that has a wall around it, a walled city in Eretz Yisrael, so then he has to go outside of the city. Right? Everyone talks about the Metzora going outside the city. It's only in Eretz Yisrael if it's a walled city in Eretz Yisrael. So if not, then he just needs to be, what's that called when you put aside? Quarantined. He needs to be quarantined. And he's quarantined, as I wrote here, if he doesn't have one of the signs, he needs to be quarantined for a week. There's different opinions of exactly what the nature of this quarantining is, but he's put aside, and while he's put aside, he is considered an avatuma, which is a very, very strong level of tuma. After a week, the Kohen, lechatchila, the same Kohen, after a week, the Kohen looks at him again. Again, we're looking for signs of tuma, but now we add a third sign of tuma. What are the first two?
Hair.
White hairs. Two white hairs. Or the healthy skin. We look after a week. If he's developed one of those signs, so we proclaim him tame. There's a third one now that can also be make him tame, and that is if there's pishyon, which means that there's spreading of the nega. It's no longer its initial size, and that's the reason. One of the reasons why we use the initial Kohen, because the initial Kohen knows how big it was originally. There's a discussion, some Rishonim hold, what we do by hair on the head, this is only talking about in the body, that there is an opinion that you do it here as well, that you draw a line around it, and that way when he, after the week, you could tell if it's spread. But if there's been spreading, which is hispashtus hanega, so then this is also a sign of tumah. Now this spreading is only a sign after a week. Meaning after 2 or 3 days, let's say he takes out his cell phone, he calls the Kohen, he says, it's spreading. That doesn't make him a mitzora muchlat, an absolute mitzora. It's only after a week. What if it spreads and then gets smaller? We look after a week. After a week, if it is spread, he's tameh. So we now have three possible simane tuma after hezger. If we don't find any tuma, so if the nega has gone down and it's no longer fulfills the criteria. Let's say after a week it's changed in color and it's no longer one of the problematic whites. Or let's say it's shrunken in size and it's no longer the size of a gris anymore. A gris merubah. It's no longer 6 hairs by 6 hairs large. So then he's tahor, he has to go to the mikveh, he has to go through a tahara process. Because just being put into hezger makes him tameh. But if it has stayed the way it is, so then he goes back in for another 7 days. And after these 7 days, again, we check him again. And if one of the three signs, the post-Hezger signs, have not developed after the second quarantining, he doesn't get the white hairs, he doesn't get the live flesh, or it doesn't spread and expand. By the way, the expanding has no shear. Even if it expands a kol shehu, he's tameh. Even the slightest amount. But if it doesn't spread, so then he's tahor, we're mitire him. The Kohen says, you're tahor. He has to go to the mikveh, he has to go through the process of tahara. He doesn't automatically, we don't say retroactively he's tahor. He goes through the process of tahara, and then he's tahor. Now you should know that once a person becomes a mitzora, an actual mitzora, that's a much more complex process of tahara, and he does not become tahor until he's made tahor. Meaning he could be a tameh mitzora for years. It's not a certain amount of time. But when he starts to show the sign of ripoy, of tahara, does the Kohen proclaim him to be tahor. Okay, Those are some of the halachos. Everything we discussed, I think, is only the first like 12 psukim of when the Torah and the Parshas Tazria starts discussing a mitzvah. This is only like the first 12 or 13 psukim. But hopefully, at least we'll understand those psukim now. Baheres, Se'es, Sapachas. Okay, let's talk a little bit in Machshava about Saras. So the famous Gemara in Erchana, Tezayin Amid Beis, I have it on the sheet here, page number 2. Boy Minei, top of the page. Boy Minei Reb Shmuel Bar Nadav, May Rebbe Chanina. V'armi lo Reb Shmuel Bar Nadav, Chas Neidu Reb Chanina. May Rebbe Chanina. V'armi lo Reb Yoshua Ben Levi. Ma Nishtana Mitzora Sh'amra Torah Bodod Yoshev V'chutz Lamachaneh. Why? What is so unique about the Mitzora that he has to leave town and be quarantined alone for a whole week? Says the Gemara, who hiv the Ben Ish Liishdo? He caused separation between man and wife. Ben Ish Lereyehu, he caused fighting by speaking Lashon Hara. You know what he said about you? You know what she said about you? Lefikach Amr Torah Badad Yashav. He needs to be alone. He caused distance. He needs to be distanced. And this is one of the classic examples of Mida Keneged Mida. He caused people to be alone. He caused people to be distanced from each other. So he needs to be distanced. Flip over the page to page 3. So there's a very nice idea from Rav Sorotskin in his Sefer Oznayim LaTorah. I'd like to read it with you. Source number 3. Chazal Darshu. Hu hivdil ben ish leishto, ben ish lereyehu lefikach amr Torah bodod yashav. Efshu laharchiv es hadibor velomar. Says Rav Zalman Sorotskin that we can expand upon this a little bit. Ki amisaper lashon hara, sone asabrio. Someone who speaks lashon hara must hate people. Vinid milo, why? Because he thinks, he's paranoid, starts to think, Ruvain mikapeach parnasaso, Ruvain's trying to take away my parnasa. Shimon is not knowing be kavod karoi. He's not giving me the kavod I deserve. Oh, niskabi b'kolona, or he's taking pride in my suffering. Hamagia b'emeslo, that really, or the kavod that's deserving of me. Ulefikach, and therefore, because he thinks everyone's out to get him, he's marba l'saper b'genusel shel Ruvain b'fnei Shimon. He speaks negatively about Ruvain in front of Shimon. In other words, people don't just stop speak lashon hara. It's because they feel, why does a person attack another person? We don't mean that this person just stam gossips for the heck of it. We mean someone who speaks negatively about someone to hurt them, to cause them damage. Why would I do that? Why would I go over to Yonah and say that Areli's saying something negative about him? It must be because I feel like Areli's doing something to me. He's not giving me kavod properly. I have something against Areli. Ulefikach amar b'lesaper b'genuso. I want to, what, you like Yonah so much? You think Yonah's so funny? I'm going to knock down Yonah in your eyes. And after this leads to us. This leads from his hatred of the individual, this leads to him taking it out now on the cloud. He starts to think that the whole world was created for me. If I see Areli being successful, I think, this is magia to me. I should be successful. Why is he in the news? Why is he doing well? Why is he doing well in business? Everything starts to become about me. Me, me. Everything's about me. I don't care to speak negatively about Yonah to Areli, because everything is about me, only about what I can gain. I start to even think to myself, oh, if everyone else would just fail and I alone would be successful. It hurts me to see other people successful. So I want everything. A person like this, I really deserve to stop living. Because look how perverted my perspective on life is. But Hashem has rachmanus on me. And therefore, instead of death, he gives me tzaras, but it's painful, like death. You have to realize, we said already, it's not just spots. It's painful, painful boils and blemishes. But the real machala, the real What's the word in English for machla? The real disease, thank you, is not a physical disease. That's not the real disease. It's a spiritual, cultural, psychological, philosophic perspective, existential problem. I have an issue. That's why I'm getting tzaras. Because I have this messed up perspective on life and self-centeredness and jealousy and paranoia. That's the reason for my machla gufo, for my actual physical disease. And therefore the Torah says, badad yashav. That the Torah says I need to be alone. Tinase lo she'iloso. Yitom ha'isha zeh tam shel badidus gemura. He sees himself, interesting perspective here. He sees himself alone. What does it mean he sees himself alone? He sees himself as being the only thing that's important. It's me versus the world. I want everything. So the Torah says, let this guy see what it feels like to really be alone. You want to be above everybody else. You don't want to share things with other people. You don't want other people to be on the same level as you. Oh, that means you want to be alone, right? See what it feels like to be alone. Oz betach yitga'ageya al min ha'adam. When he's alone, betach, what's he going to start doing? He's going to be mitga'ageya. What's mitga'ageya? He's going to yearn for other people. Yikabo love l'nasheka ta'afar raglo shel isha rishon shisratz l'sheves l'daberimo. You know what he'll do? He'll kiss the dirt of the first person who's willing to come and speak to him. Imagine you have a person, kid in class. Nobody's wants to be friends with him. Why? Because he's mean, he's self-centered, he's egotistical. All he cares about himself, and all the other kids say, you know what, let's stop talking to him. Everyone just ignore him. And everyone ignores him. And after a while, he starts to say, like, I don't want to be alone, I want people to speak to me. But what do you mean? It's mida keneged mida. You wanted to be above everyone else. You didn't want real friendship with people. So we give you a dose of loneliness. See what it's like to be alone. Rav Zalman Sirotkin was Talmud in Slobodka. He was a Rav in Europe in some of the greatest communities. They invited him to become the Rosh Yeshiva of Tells, and ended up turning down the position to be the Rosh Yeshiva of Tells in Europe. The end of his life, towards the end of his life, he came to Eretz Yisrael. He was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael. Died like in the 60s. But his main time was in the 20s. He was in 30s. He was a Rav in Europe. Chashev Rav. Rav Zalman Sirotkin. Yeah, Sirotkin's named after him. One of the great Gedolim from Europe. Take a look what he says here. Hasemel shel habedidus, on page 4, kufnun vov, fourth line in the parentheses. Hasemel shel habedidus, and the greatest sign of this feeling of absolute bedidus, we find in the sefer. What does it say in the underline? What sefer is he referring to? Robinson Crusoe. And the symbol of this aloneness. Oh, you guys don't know the story of Robinson Crusoe?
No, I do.
So, you never read the book Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe, right?
No.
No? Oh, okay. We'll have Rav Zalman Sirotkin tell us about it a little bit. Should be. Robinson Crusoe. Shebo Mesuper Maisa Be'echad. It's a story of a person. There was a shipwreck, and he was saved on an e katan, on a small island, shumam of wilderness, no one there. Me'ein adam, kama tarach ad shemata shemalecho. And this book speaks about how he had to like find food and shtia umichsia, and he had to build for himself some type of shelter. Chayos torfos, he had to protect himself from wild animals. After living on this island for a while, he forgot how to speak. He almost went crazy because he had no interaction with other people. And the author is in clear ways. And he describes there his longing for companionship, for someone to speak to. We all know solitary confinement, that it's not just about being alone. It's about the hours and hours of no one to speak to, no friendship, no camaraderie. So the yeshivaso shel atzarua badad michutz lamachana, and that is like the experience of the mitzora, outside the camp, where he's not even allowed to be amongst the other Temeim, the other Mitzorayim. This teaches him, Leo v'skol b'nei Adam v'eschavrasam. What is it? What do you think happens when he comes back into society, when he comes off the island? He learns much more about the value of friendship and about being nice to other people and about having warm and healthy relationships with other people. And when he sits there and when he screams out, Tamei, Tamei, and he's modia his tzar to the rabbim, that they should daven for him, he puts on his heart, that now he's turning to those same rabbim. He cries out, I'm Tamei, why does, that's a part of the din, he has to cry out, I'm Tamei, why does he have to do that? In order to get people to daven for him. Those same people that he put down, those same people that he felt before that he didn't need, now he realizes how much he needs them. And this is the message of the Mitzora. I want to point out something to you very interesting. If you take a look on page 5, this is the English translation that came out recently of the Oznayim LaTorah, Rav Zurotskin's Sefer. I want you to look through the paragraph here and tell me if you notice anything missing from the paragraph. Take a look at the English translation, Badad Yashav. Look through it quickly. Let us focus on this idea in more detail. The punishment of Tzaras is inflicted upon this person because he indulged in harmful talk. Next paragraph, his hatred of individuals leads him to hatred of mankind. He imagines the entire world was created for him. It is fitting for such a person to be killed by heaven. He wishes will be granted. He will have a taste of his own isolation. He will long for human society. He will want to kiss the dust of the feet of the first man who consents to sit and talk with him. Sitting in isolation outside the camp, separated from other people, the Mitzorah will learn to love his fellow man. What did the Art Scroll editors feel that they had the right to edit out of the book and to leave out of the Sefer? The quote from the Robinson Crusoe story. Apparently they felt it was pasnished for a Rosh Hashiva and a major Rav from Europe, a Haredi Rav with a long beard, to have read Robinson Crusoe, let alone to quote it in a Sefer. And here I think, and Art Scroll has done this in many instances. No, they've done it in many instances, and they don't hide it. They say that their purpose when they translate books or when they write biographies is not to be, they're not historians, they're not trying to write a historical record, they're trying to inspire, and therefore the things that they feel are not going to be inspirational, they feel the right to leave out. It's a little hard to translate someone safer, and to leave out part of what the person wrote. But I think here there's a very important message, which unfortunately Art Scroll seems to not be able to internalize, and that is Chachma Bagoyim Tamin. There are tremendous things that we're able to learn from literature, and sometimes the imagery of something like isolation. We can speak about it in the Torah, but if you read a very powerful book about it, sometimes that's able to really bring home an idea and help a person to relate to it. So, unfortunately for the readers of Art Scroll, they don't get this reference, but those who read the original Hebrew are able to relate to that.
The people that relate to the book are reading the Art Scroll, but they don't get it.
Right. Yeah, you're saying the people who don't relate are able to read the Hebrew. Right, I hear. Well, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to get to it because we're going to run out of time. I mean, we have run out of time, but you take a look at the Rambam here. The Rambam has a very, very beautiful description at the end of Tumas Tzaras about how bad Lashon Hara is. And he says about Miriam, think about it. What did Miriam really do? She didn't really speak Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. She just thought that he, mistakenly thought that he was like all the other Nevi'im. And this is Miriam, it's his sister. And not only is it his sister, she risked her life to save him when he was a baby. And she dedicated her life to him. He speaks here all about how great how Miriam was. And yet, because she said something that wasn't really even necessarily Lashon Hara, how she was hit with tzaras. And Alachas V'kami ends with such a beautiful line that the sicha of sinners, they speak about other people. Aval sichas kashrei Yisrael, ena ela b'divrei Torah, v'chochma. But the sicha of Jews, they're not Yoshvei Kronos, but it's b'divrei Torah, it's chochma. Lefikach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ozer al Yadon, Umizakeo son, and that's why they get help from Hashem. Shnemar Oz Yid Nidabru Yuri Hashem Isha Reehu, Vyaksheva Hashem Yishmai Vikasev Sefer Zikon Lufano Yuri Shema Hashem ulechoshvei shmo. Everyone should have a great Shabbos.